Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. In this podcast, you'll learn actionable strategies to deal with infertility from Dr. Michael Chapman, or Prof as he's affectionately known. Prof is the co-founder of IVF Australia and is a leading Australian infertility specialist who has helped over 3,000 couples realise their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
That first cry of a baby born after the long journey of IVF remains one of the most beautiful experiences in the world. As an obstetrician and an IVF specialist, I've had the privilege of experiencing this over many thousands of times in my long career, but I still remain moved by each baby's first cry. It signifies the end of a long journey and the beginning of a new life. This is Professor Michael Chapman, co-founder of IVF Australia and host of the IVF Journey podcast. Thanks for tuning in. To access all the previous episodes, head over to my website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu. You'll also be able to find the various services that we provide at IVF Australia. So today we'll talk about multiple pregnancy. For the outsider who's never experienced twin pregnancies, having two babies at once sounds like a wonderful thing. You don't have to go through two IVF cycles. You don't have to wait between pregnancies. It sounds like an ideal solution, but it's certainly not. And the multiple pregnancy rate in IVF has been a concern around the world for many years. The high multiple pregnancy rates that used to occur and still occur in some countries is driven by the desire to maximise the chances of pregnancy by putting multiple embryos back in that one cycle. It's interesting that countries where IVF is relatively inexpensive by government subsidies, the multiple pregnancy rate is very low because patients can afford to come back and back, and putting one embryo back is seen to be the correct thing to be doing. Why is it the correct thing to be doing to only put one embryo back? I get asked this question on a regular basis, particularly husbands who see the advantages of twins. Well, the facts are the facts. If you have a twin pregnancy, the chances of one of those babies dying during pregnancy or in childbirth is more than double that of having a single baby. And probably worse than that is that the risk of cerebral palsy, brain damage to a baby in a twin pregnancy, is four times that of a singleton. Those babies will end up in special care or neonatal intensive care 10 times more frequently in a twin pregnancy than from a singleton pregnancy conceived through IVF. So you can see why doctors are moving more and more to single embryo transfer. In some European countries, in fact, it's mandated that a single embryo be put back to obtain any tax benefit from the government. And that has resulted in a substantial reduction in Denmark, for instance, 4% multiple pregnancy rate. Compare that to 5 years ago in the United States, where it was in excess of 35%. And the government in those countries have mandated single embryo transfer because of the health costs, not just about the damage that can be done to babies, but the actual costs of the intensive care for the neonates, of the long-term care of brain-damaged babies. Those health economic arguments have taken governments to actually step in and stop multiple embryo transfers. We're very proud in Australia that we've come to the same conclusion, but without government intervention. Some 10 years ago, the Fertility Society of Australia decided amongst its doctors that single embryo transfer was the way forward. And today, in statistics to be released in the next month, we will hear that the multiple pregnancy rate in Australia voluntarily is only 4.4%. And our pregnancy rates for single embryo transfer are amongst the best in the world. Beyond those double embryo transfers are those where people are putting even more than two back. And in 2017, most ethical doctors see that as a negligent approach to infertility. In some countries around the world, some clinicians do it deliberately, knowing that they will be undertaking fetal reduction, in other words, killing one or other of the pregnancies if there's more than two, or running the risk of triplet or quadruplet pregnancies, or even in the States, octuplets, and all the downsides of highly premature babies, of brain damage, long-term lung problems, and long-term issues of the health of those babies. In Australia, less than 0.1% of embryo transfers are more than two. And interestingly, in the recent set of data, none of those women actually had a pregnancy. Three were put back because people were so desperate. That had multiple cycles, they were older ladies, and the fact that there were no pregnancies shows you the futility of that approach. So while it may seem a wonderful thing to have twins, the outcomes, unfortunately, do not justify putting two embryos back, or even more. Putting one embryo back, however, doesn't guarantee a singleton pregnancy. There are two situations where we do get twins, albeit in less than 2% of all pregnancies conceived through IVF, but they do occur. The first is what's called monozygotic twinning. That's where one egg or one embryo divides into two to create identical twins. These seem to occur more frequently than in nature, and no one quite understands why. They are dangerous pregnancies, because the circulations of both babies are joined together and one can be starved of blood while the other one can have too much blood, and both those babies are at risk. The other time that I've certainly seen it, and probably I've seen it a half a dozen times in my career, is when we put a frozen embryo back. We're putting one embryo back, but twins occur. What we find when we ask those couples when the twins are discovered on ultrasound at 6 weeks, that when we ask them about having intercourse just around the time of that ovulation in that cycle, they confess that they did have intercourse. And in fact, what they've achieved is a natural pregnancy at the same time as they've had an embryo transfer. This situation is uncommon, and we do warn patients going through a frozen embryo transfer cycle not to have intercourse in the days leading up to natural ovulation, because these twins are still at risk. So I hope that informs you a little more about multiple pregnancy and why, certainly in Australia, we advocate very strongly that a single embryo transfer is likely to give you the best outcome. And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to The IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey, all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.